السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. How are you all doing? نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، اما بعد، فاعوذ بالله من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. رب اشرح لی صدری ویسر لی امری واحلل عقدۃ من لسانی یفقہوا قولی ربنا زدنا علما. In our previous class we learned about what the sunnah is. What is the sunnah? That literally, linguistically, sunnah is a path, a way, whether it is good or it is bad. That's the literal meaning. What's the technical meaning of the word sunnah? It is the way of who? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does that include? His ways, what do that include? Actions, his sayings, as well as his approvals. When it comes to the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sunnah that is qawliya. Can you give me an example? Let me tell you about some ahadith and you guess, or rather you make an educated guess, okay, of whether it is sunnah qawliya, fi'liya, or taqririya. Okay? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. Pray as you see me praying. Which kind of sunnah is this? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Yes. Qawliya. It's a statement, right? Because he said, you believers should pray just as you see me praying. He's giving us a command. So when we pray as he prayed, then we are following sunnah qawliya. Anas radhiyallahu anhu narrated about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when he said something, he repeated it three times until it was fully understood. And that when he encountered people, he greeted them as well, three times. What kind of sunnah is this? Fi'liya. Because this hadith tells us about the action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that how when he mentioned something important, he would mention it three times. And when he met some people, he would also greet them. Another hadith tells us that Amr ibn As, he narrated that once they were traveling, and in the night he entered the state of janaba, and in the morning he was supposed to take a bath basically in order to pray salah. But it was very cold, so he was afraid that if he took a bath, he would become extremely sick. So he was in the state of ritual impurity, but he just did tayammum and he prayed. When the Prophet ﷺ found out, he asked him that you prayed while you were in the state of janaba and you only did tayammum? And he said, meaning Umar ibn As, he said, I heard the statement of Allah and do not kill yourselves. This is why I just did tayammum. So the Prophet ﷺ laughed. He laughed a lot. What kind of hadith is this? What kind of sunnah does this tell us of? Taqririyya, because his laughing was his approval. Okay? Another hadith tells us that Umar radhiyallahu anhu, once he passed by Hassan ibn Thabit, when Hassan radhiyallahu anhu was reciting poetry in the masjid, and Umar radhiyallahu anhu gave him a look, that how dare you recite poetry in the masjid. So Hassan ibn Thabit, he replied that I used to recite poetry in this mosque in the presence of someone better than you. What is this? What is this? Taqririyya, right? Because it shows that the Prophet ﷺ approved of it when he saw him reciting poetry in the masjid. Another hadith tells us, the Prophet ﷺ said, do not drink water in one gulp like a camel, but take it in two or three installments, meaning take it in two or three sips. What kind of sunnah is this? Qawliya. Because he said, do not drink like this. Okay? He gave an instruction. Another hadith tells us, the Prophet ﷺ and his companions performed ablution from a water bag belonging to an unbelieving woman. Fi'liya. It tells us about the fi'l, the action of the Prophet ﷺ, that he performed wudu from a water skin that belonged to a non-Muslim. Anas radhiyallahu anhu narrated, one night an orphan and I prayed behind the Prophet ﷺ and Sulaim was standing behind us forming a row by herself. Taqririyya. Good. Because he approved of Sulaim praying behind them alone. Right? There was no other woman standing next to her. Right? So, you see, every hadith, it is either qawliya, fi'liya, or taqririyya. Sometimes it may even have more than that. Right? It might be qawliya as well as fi'liya. Okay? It may have some overlap. But the point over here is that every hadith will tell us about one of these three sunnahs. Okay? قولية، فعلية اور تقريرية. اوكي، لیٹس کنٹینیو. چیپٹر نمبر 3، السنة فی ضوء القرآن. دا سنة ان لائٹ آف دا قرآن، میننگ واٹ از دا پوزیشن آف دا سنة، واٹ ڈز دا قرآن سے اباؤٹ دا سنة. اوکے، what importance does the Quran give to the Sunnah? What do we find out about the position of the Sunnah from the Quran? Now, all Muslims, they believe in the Quran, correct? Because Muslims are who? Who believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who believe in the revelation that he brought, that he was given, and who believe in the Quran, they follow the Quran, they're Muslim. And if a person rejects the Quran, then is he even considered a Muslim? No. Will other Muslims accept him as a Muslim? No. Every person believes in the Quran as the word of Allah, right? So as a result of that, people realize the importance of the Quran, right? People realize that yes, when Quran says something, you have to do it. When something is found in the Quran, we have to do it. It's not disputed. But when it comes to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do you see that people are generally like confused, right? People have their own opinions. Some say that, oh, you're supposed to follow the sunnah. And others say, so what if it's a sunnah? What's the big deal? Right? Some say that following the sunnah means that you are, you know, relying on sources that are not authentic, right? Because they doubt the authenticity, the correctness of the hadith, which in itself is another topic, right? But we see that there is some confusion amongst the people with regards to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do we have to follow it or we don't have to follow it? Is it necessary? What's the big deal if we don't? So let's see what the Quran tells us about the position of the sunnah. First of all, we learn that it is obligatory to obey the commands of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the matter of religion. When it comes to the commands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the Quran tells us that we have to obey him. We have to follow him. We don't have a choice. A command coming from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is what? An obligation on us. Who tells us that? The Quran itself tells us. Where? In Surah Al-Anfal, ayah number 20, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who have believed, Ati'u Allaha wa rasulahu. Obey Allah and his messenger. Wa la tawallaw anhu, وَأَنْتُمْ تَسْمَعُونَ. And do not turn away from him while you listen. Meaning when you have heard the command of Allah, then what should you do? What should you do? Follow it. And when you have heard the command of the Prophet ﷺ, then what should you do? Follow that as well. You don't have a choice when it comes to the commands of the Quran, when it comes to the commands from the Prophet ﷺ. You have to obey, you have to follow. And especially when you have come to know, وَأَنْتُمْ تَسْمَعُونَ, while you hear. Meaning when you know, when you have been called, when you have found out, then you have to follow. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he said that I read the whole Quran and I found that Allah has ordered us to obey the Prophet ﷺ 33 times. He found 33 evidences in the Quran that tell us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to follow who? The Prophet ﷺ. Ibn al-Qayyim, he found more than 100 verses that prove that it is an obligation upon us to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And some of these evidences are mentioned over here. Likewise, we see in the Quran, the next verse that's mentioned over here, which is in Surah An-Nur, ayah number 56, that وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ, and establish the prayer and give the zakah. وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ, and obey the messenger. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, so that you may be shown mercy. What three commands are given over here? Establish the prayer, give the zakah, and obey the messenger. Is it mandatory for us to pray? Yes. Is it mandatory on people to give zakat as well? Yes. So if it's mandatory to pray and give zakat, then what about obedience to the messenger? That is also mandatory. Because it's mentioned in the same sentence, right? In the same instructions. Establish the prayer, give the zakah, obey the messenger. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, so that you may be shown mercy. In Surah An-Nisa, ayah number 80, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Whoever obeys the messenger, has in fact obeyed Allah. The one who obeys the messenger, who is he obeying in reality? Allah. وَمَن تَوَلَّى and whoever turns away, فَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا that we have not sent you, O Prophet ﷺ, over them as a guardian. Meaning then you're not responsible. Obeying the messenger is important, just as it is important to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Allah has told us to follow the messenger, then following the messenger is in reality obeying Allah. And if a person disobeys the messenger, does not follow his way, then who is he disobeying? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person turns away from the messenger, then Allah says that, O Prophet, you're not responsible for them. Meaning Allah will deal with them. Allah will hold them accountable. Allah will hold them responsible for their turning away, for their disobedience. So we see that turning away from the messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is it a small thing? Not at all. It's a big thing. It's a big deal. Then we learn in Surah An-Nisa, ayah number 64, that وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ And we did not send any messenger except to be obeyed by the permission of Allah. Every single messenger who was sent by Allah, he was sent why? So that the people obey him. So that the people follow him. Because if Allah wanted, he could have just sent the scripture as well. If the scripture, the book, was sufficient for the guidance of mankind, then Allah would have only sent the scripture. But we see that with every scripture that Allah sent, who did he send as well? A messenger, a carrier of that scripture. Isa alayhi salam brought Injil. Musa alayhi salam was given the Torah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam was given the Quran. So every messenger whom Allah sent was supposed to be followed and obeyed by his people. And this means that if a people disobeyed their messenger, rejected their messenger, did not follow him, then what was their end? What was their outcome? What was their outcome? What do we learn in the Quran? Those people who did not follow their messengers, what was their outcome? Punishment, right? Inshallah, you will learn about the various nations of the past, people of Nuh alayhi salam, people of Ad, people of Thamud, people, different nations. When they disobeyed their messengers, what was their outcome? Punishment in this world. So likewise, when the Prophet ﷺ was sent by Allah, why was he sent? So that we just say, yes, we believe in him as the messenger and that's it? No, so that we follow him. He brought the revelation and also the explanation of the revelation. How we are to understand it. How we are to live it. How we are to observe it. In the Quran, Allah tells us that وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ And we have revealed the dhikr, the revelation upon you, so that you make it clear to the people as to what has been revealed on them. So every prophet's job was to explain the religion to the people. And if the people don't follow the messenger, then do they understand their religion then? No. You can't understand their religion. So every messenger that was sent to be obeyed by his people. Then we learn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, ayah 132, that وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ Obey Allah and the Messenger so that you may obtain mercy. Obey Allah and the Messenger so that Allah will show mercy upon you. And if you don't obey Allah, if you don't obey the Messenger, then a person will be deprived of what? He will be deprived of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we also learn in Surah An-Nisa, ayah number 59, that يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ O you who have believed, obey Allah and obey the Messenger. And who else are you to obey? And also obey the leaders among you, those people in authority. فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ And if you disagree over anything, فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ Then refer it to Allah and the Messenger. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ If you believe in Allah and the last day, ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ That is the best way, وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا And the best in result. In this ayah, what do we see? Allah is telling the believers, obey Allah, His Messenger, and those people who are in authority among you. So if we are required to obey our leaders, right? Whether it is a scholar or any kind of leader, if we are to obey them, then you think it's not important for us to obey Allah? Of course it is. You think it's not important for us to obey the messenger? Of course it is. Think about it. When you are working somewhere, when you are living somewhere, you are supposed to follow the rules. You are supposed to obey the authority. And if you don't, then there are serious consequences. Likewise, whose world are we living in? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to obey Allah. Whose religion are we following? The one that Allah sent. And who's the leader in that religion? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because he's the one who brought that religion to us, explained that religion to us. So we are also supposed to follow him. If we are to follow other human beings, obey them, then we also have to obey the best human being, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's necessary that we follow him too. And if you look at this verse, what has been mentioned? That when you do have a dispute concerning something, then you should refer that matter to who? Allah and his messenger. Any matter of dispute, differences that may exist between you, then where is the solution? With Allah and the messenger, meaning turn towards the religion. Turn towards the Quran and the Sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you do that, what does Allah say? ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. You'll find the best answer. You'll find the best solution. The best course of action. And it's also best in ta'wil, in result. Meaning if you refer your matters to Allah and His Messenger, you follow the Qur'an and Sunnah, then you will have the best results in whatever you do. And if you stay away from the Sunnah of the Messenger, then what's going to happen? You won't have the best result. So success in this dunya and akhirah is based on what? Obeying Allah and His Messenger. Obeying the Messenger is necessary. Then we learn in Surah An-Nisa, ayah number 65, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. But no, by your Lord, they will not truly believe. The iman of the people is not accepted. Their iman is not complete. Their iman would have a problem in it, unless and until what? حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Until they make you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a judge concerning that over which they dispute among themselves. That whenever they do have a dispute, who do they refer to? You. Whose decision do they accept? Yours. Whose final judgment do they follow? Yours. Unless they do that, their iman is not complete. Their iman is not acceptable. So, what does this ayah clearly show to us? That following the messenger is a requirement of our iman. It's a requirement of faith. That if a person obeys the messenger, then his iman is acceptable. And if he disobeys, disregards the commands of the messenger, then there is a deficiency in his iman. There is a problem with it. Summa, then, meaning after knowing about your final judgment, لَا يَجِدُ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. That upon finding out your judgment, then they find within themselves no discomfort from what you have judged, and submit in full and willing submission. Meaning that they don't just look at your sunnah, that what did you say concerning a particular issue, but that they also accept it. How do they accept it? Wholeheartedly, willingly. They also submit to it, meaning they also follow it, they also do it. Because sometimes we think it's sufficient to say, yes, we believe in the messenger, yes, we're supposed to follow him. But when it comes to his sunnah, unless and until we actually follow the sunnah, observe the sunnah, we're not doing 100%. Right? So, in order to do things in the right way, what is necessary? Accepting his authority, acknowledging his authority, accepting his decision, and also observing it, obeying him. Obedience is necessary. وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا. Submitting willingly to his commands is necessary. Without it, iman is not acceptable. Then we also learn in Surah Muhammad, ayah number 33, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَلَا تُبْطِلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ. That all you who have believed, obey Allah and obey the messenger, and do not invalidate your deeds. Do not nullify your deeds. Do not waste your deeds. What does this ayah show? that if a person does not obey Allah, does not obey the Messenger, then what will happen to his deeds? What will happen to his deeds then? They'll be nullified. They'll be cancelled. They won't carry any weight. They'll be worthless. Why? Because deeds are only acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they are done for His sake, and secondly, in the way that He likes. And what is the way that He likes? The way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are the two conditions for the acceptance of deeds: sincerity and conformity. If these two, one or both, are missing, then an action is invalid. It does not carry any weight whatsoever. So Allah tells us that all this hard work that you're doing, all this effort that you're putting, do it right. Don't waste your efforts. Don't nullify your deeds. You know, sometimes when you're driving even, okay, when you're traveling even, does it become hard? Does it become hard? Yeah? Or is it, okay, you're taking a 2-hour flight, 3-hour road trip, it's okay, not a big deal. No, you do get tired, don't you? Now you're putting in so much effort. So much of your time is going into it. Shouldn't you do it in the right way? So that action, that effort also becomes meaningful. That effort also brings you reward. Shouldn't you? Yes. So how can you do that? That when you're traveling, you follow the sunnah of traveling as well. That as you step out of your house, you step out in the manner that the Prophet ﷺ stepped out of his house. You say the same adhkar, right? You say the same words that he said. When you get into your vehicle, as you're sitting, you're ready to set off, then you say the dua, which he said. So that this whole effort that you're putting into driving and into traveling, even that becomes an ibadah. Even that becomes an act of worship. Right? Likewise, a person could be, you know, praying salah. Okay? But if he's not praying in the manner that the Prophet ﷺ prayed, in the manner that he guided, all that effort that's going into praying salah would be wasted, right? Because if salah is prayed in the wrong way, that a person is not taking care of his sujood, of his rukur, then that salah will be invalid. Like that man who came and prayed, and the Prophet ﷺ told him that, irji' fasalli fa'innaka lam tusalli. Go and repeat your prayer because you have not prayed. The man went and repeated his prayer. And he came back, and the Prophet ﷺ said the same thing to him, go and repeat it again. And this happened a number of times until that man said, I'm sorry, I don't know how to pray then. You teach me how to pray. And the Prophet ﷺ told him that when you pray, how should you pray? With tama'nina. When you stand, then stand still. And when you go to ruku', then stay in ruku' for a moment and then get up. When you get up, then stay in that position for a moment and then go down. Not that you're whizzing through salah. You can't even tell between the different steps of salah. Right? So, anything that we do in life, whether it is directly related to religion or indirectly related to pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you all have learned about the definition of ibadah. Ibadah is not just ritual acts of worship, but anything that a person can do in the right way to please Allah. So no matter what we are doing, how should we do it? In the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. Right? In the way that he did. So that no action is wasted. Allah says, وَلَا تُبْطِلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ. Don't nullify your deeds. Don't waste them. Don't invalidate them. Then we also learn in Surah Al-Hashr, ayah number 7, that Allah says, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. Whatever the Messenger gives to you, then take it. Meaning any instruction, any command, whatever he gives you, take it. Accept it. Follow it. Do it. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ. And whatever he stops you from, then what should you do? فَانْتَهُ. Then stop from it. If he has prohibited you from something, then stay away from it. Don't do it. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And fear Allah. Look at the warning over here. Fear Allah. That if you don't follow the Messenger, then Allah will hold you accountable. Allah can inflict His punishment upon you. If you disregard the commands, the instructions of the Messenger, if you don't give importance to His instructions, then this is a serious matter. Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Fear Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Indeed, Allah is severe in retribution. This is a threat of punishment. For who? For those who disregard the commands of the Prophet ﷺ. ان اللہ شدید العقاب, ہی از سیویئر ان ریٹریبیوشن. دیئر فور وی لرن دیٹ فالوئنگ دا وے آف دا پروفیٹ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, اسپیشلی ہز کمانڈز, ہز انسٹرکشنز, وٹ از اٹ؟ اٹ از این آبلیگیشن اپان اس. It is an obligation upon us. Just as salah is, just as zakat is, this is also an obligation. Then we learned that obedience of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and following him ensures success. First of all, when a person follows the Messenger, then what is he doing? He's doing the right thing, right? He's fulfilling an obligation. Secondly, what's the benefit? The benefit is that when you follow the Messenger, then success is guaranteed. Success is guaranteed. Where do we learn that from? From the Quran. In Surah An-Nur, Ayah 52, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَخْشَ اللَّهَ وَيَتَّقْهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. That whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, and he fears Allah, and he also has taqwa of Allah, then those people, who are they? Faizun. They are successful. They are achievers. Achievers of what? Their goals. They will be successful. So what are the four steps to success that we learn in this ayah? What are they? First of all, obeying Allah. Secondly, obeying the Messenger, Rasulullah. Thirdly, having fear of Allah. And fourthly, having taqwa of Allah. Then this leads to success. In the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were many times, you know, where it was clear to people that following him meant success and disobeying him meant failure. Can you think of an example? A very common example, commonly quoted example for this. At the Battle of Uhud, what happened? Because of disobedience to the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the believers suffered, right? They suffered a great loss. So when they followed the Messenger, they were successful. You might say, but now, is it really that relevant? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because we are in need of success in this world and also in the hereafter. Also in the hereafter. In this world especially, you know, little sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so things that we tend to ignore a lot. This leads to success in this world as well. For example, the Prophet ﷺ, his habit was that when he would wake up in the morning, before putting his hand into a bucket of water, he would wash his hands first. And this is what he instructed us to do as well. That wash your hand before putting it into a bucket of water. Is there any benefit in that? Is there? Yes. Because you don't know, your hand may be dirty. Right? You don't know, there might be something on your hand and you can't see it because you were sleeping. Right? So when you've woken up, if you put your hand as it is in the bucket of water, it's going to make the whole water contaminated. And if you drink that water, if you wash your hands and your face and your body with it, what's going to happen? You won't be clean. Right? You might actually catch some disease or something. Right? Likewise, for using the toilet, the Prophet ﷺ, his sunnah was, and this is the instruction that he gave to the people as well, that use the left hand to clean yourself, to wipe yourself, not the right hand. Why? Why? Because you eat with your right hand. Right? You might say that, oh, but we use soap afterwards, so our hands become clean. Okay, but you could be in a place where you don't have access to soap. Or even despite using soap, all the germs are not gone. All the bacteria is not gone. You know, in those TV adverts, they show that if you use this particular soap, then 100% germs are gone. But if you use only this one, then look, there are still germs remaining on your hands. Right? So, there could be, you don't know. But if you follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, then you're fine. Correct? So, obedience to the Messenger ﷺ is the way to success in this life as well as in the hereafter. In Surah An-Nur, Ayah 51, we learn, إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَنْ يَقُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. The only statement of the true believers when they are called to Allah and His Messenger to judge between them is that they say, we hear and we obey. Allah says concerning them, and those are the successful. Those who respond to the call of Allah, those who respond to the call of the Messenger, then Allah will give them success. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Ayah 71, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, then in fact he has certainly attained a great attainment. He is not just successful in an ordinary way, no. He is the most successful person. He has achieved the great success, the greatest success. فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Because obedience to Allah and His Messenger is the key to success in the hereafter. And if a person is successful in the hereafter, that is the greatest attainment. Then in Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 13, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger will be admitted by Him to gardens in paradise under which rivers flow, abiding eternally therein. And that is the great attainment. So a person who follows the Prophet ﷺ closely, carefully, then where will he be? In Jannah. In Jannah. And that is the great success. وَذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. And if a person does not follow the Messenger, the result will be opposite of that. It will be different from this. If obedience to him leads to Jannah, then disobedience would lead where? The opposite of Jannah. So this is a serious matter. A very serious matter. Then we learn that deeds that are performed according to the commands of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will receive a full reward. A full reward. Meaning, if a person consciously, carefully, does whatever he does in the right way, in the way that Allah likes, in the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught, then he will get 100% on that action. Okay? Each deed that we do is being graded. You understand? Each action that we do is being graded. Because we are going to be recompensed for it. Right? Depending on the quality of the deed, depending on how it was performed, with what intention, it is graded. So if a person does a particular action according to the commands of Allah and the Messenger, then he will get how much? 100%. And if a person ignores the commands of the Messenger concerning that action, then will he get 100%? No. No, he won't. What's the evidence of this? In Surah Al-Hujurat, Ayah 14, Allah says, وَإِن تُطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَا يَلِتْكُمْ مِنْ أَعْمَالِكُمْ شَيْئًا. And if you obey Allah and His Messenger, He will not deprive you from your deeds of anything. لَا يَلِتْكُمْ مِنْ أَعْمَالِكُمْ شَيْئًا. Allah will not cause you any loss concerning your actions, meaning you will receive full reward for your actions. Those actions will not be nullified and their reward will not be nullified. You will get 100%. إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful. So, in other words, the more a person follows the sunnah, the more accepted and rewarded his deeds are. And the less a person follows the sunnah, then the less accepted and the less rewarded his deeds are. So if you want your deeds to be accepted by Allah and also greatly rewarded by Allah, then what do we have to do? We have to follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Then forgiveness of sins is conditional to obedience of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ and following him. If we want our sins to be forgiven, if we want our sins to be forgiven, then what do we need to do? Obey the Messenger. Obey Allah and obey the Messenger. And also follow the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? What do we think is the means of seeking forgiveness for our sins? Do istighfar. Right? Just say astaghfirullah. Oh Allah, I'm sorry, please forgive me. But along with seeking forgiveness verbally, we also have to do something. We have to show that we have left that state of disobedience and now we are going to be obedient to Allah. Right? But how can we show to Allah that we are obedient to Him? By obeying the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So when a person obeys the Messenger, then his sins will be forgiven. Allah says in Surah Ali Imran, Ayah 31, that قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to the people, that if you love Allah, then follow me. If you love Allah, then follow who? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What's the result of that? يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهِ. Allah will love you too. You love Allah? You want Allah to love you? Then what do you have to do? Follow the Messenger. يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهِ. Then Allah will love you. Moreover, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And He will also forgive you your sins. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. And Allah is forgiving and merciful. This ayah teaches us many, many things. First of all, this ayah shows to us that if we love Allah, do we say that we love Allah? Are you one of those people who loves Allah? Do we all claim that we love Allah? Yes. Then what do we have to do? Prove that love. Show that love. If there is any human being whom you love, how do you show them your love? How? For example, your mother. How would you show your love to your mother? Okay, you listen to her. What else can you do? Do that which she wants you to do, right? Do that which she gets really happy by, right? What else would you do? Typically, I'm talking about real things. What would you do? Really, if you love someone, how do you show your love to them? You give them a gift, right? You help them. When you love someone, you show your love to them by doing anything and everything that could make them happy. Whether it is giving them a gift, or bringing them a glass of water, or wearing the clothes that they want you to wear, or saying the things that they want you to say, or studying what they want you to study, or marry someone whom they want you to marry, right? You do anything and everything what will make them happy, right? So how is it that we love Allah? How is it that we love Allah and we don't have to do anything to make Him happy? We have to do something to make Him happy too, right? And what is it that we can do to make Allah happy? What is it that will make Him happy with us? When we follow and obey the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to make Allah happy. You know why? Because he was of those people whom Allah was pleased with. Allah was happy with him. Allah was pleased with him. So much so that Allah made him pleased. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَّرْضَى. That you will be happy, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? So Allah was happy with him. So if we want to show our love to Allah, then we have to follow who? The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because his ways were the best. His ibadah was accepted. His du'as, Allah accepted. His deeds, Allah liked. Right? His efforts, his striving, everything that the Prophet ﷺ did, Allah approved of. What he approved of, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those actions. So if we do them, then we will make Allah happy. And when we will make Allah happy, then what does Allah say? يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. Then Allah will also love you. And we always wonder, you know, we love Allah, but does Allah love me? Do you have this question sometimes in your head? I wonder if Allah loves me. I wonder what my rank is, what my position is in the sight of Allah. Because sometimes we feel that, yeah, Allah loves us when things are going really well. And the moment we get sick, or the moment we get, you know, something's not working out for us, we think Allah's upset with us. Right? This is what we think typically. But what's the criteria? What's the criteria? That when you follow the sunnah, then that is a sign that Allah loves you. That is a sign that Allah loves you. The more a person follows the sunnah, the more Allah loves him. And everyone is not able to follow the Prophet ﷺ. Many people know a lot, but they're not able to follow him. So if a person is given the ability to follow the Messenger ﷺ, that shows that Allah loves him. And the added benefit is that Allah will also forgive you your sins. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Then we also learn that obedience of Allah and His Messenger will elevate one to the ranks of those whom Allah favored. When a person follows the way of the Prophet ﷺ, then his rank will be immediately elevated to the rank of who? Those whom Allah has favored. In Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 69, we learn, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. And whoever obeys Allah and the Messenger, then those people will be with the ones upon whom Allah has bestowed favor. In Surah Al-Fatiha, what dua do we make? What dua do we make? اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. So, if a person follows the Messenger, then he will be among who? الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Who are they whom Allah is happy with? Whom Allah has bestowed favor upon them? They are the prophets, the steadfast affirmers of truth, the martyrs, and the righteous. And excellent are those as companions. So what does this show to us? That when a person follows the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, his rank is immediately promoted. Okay? It's increased. He goes higher in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you might wonder, what's the relationship between following the sunnah and being of the highest of the high? What's the relation between that? What's the connection between that? If you think about it, if a person works an ordinary job, let's say he's just transporting goods from one place to the other. He has a private pickup truck or whatever, and he just transports goods from one place to the other. Does he have to wear any uniform? Does he? No. Does he have to sign something, anything? No. But the greater the position is, the greater is expected of you. You have to wear a uniform. You have to follow a certain protocol, right? And as people work in more higher positions, then they have to dress appropriately, right? In a particular manner. They have to use certain words, right? They have to eat in a particular way. They have to walk in a particular way. They have to drive a particular car. Correct? So, the higher your level is, the more restrictions are imposed on you in a way. Right? The more you have to do. So likewise, if you want your rank to be high in Jannah, then you have to do more as well. Then you have to follow the Prophet ﷺ in everything. In the manner that you sleep, in the manner that you eat, in the manner that you walk, in everything. And the more you do it, the greater, the higher your rank will be. Then we learned that any form of disobedience of Allah and His Messenger ﷺ invalidate a verbal claim of iman. If a person disobeys the Messenger, he doesn't give any importance to his commands, then his statement, I am a Muslim, I believe, is it acceptable? No. Then it's questionable. In Surah An-Nur, Ayah 47-48, we learn, وَيَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالرَّسُولِ. And the hypocrites, they say, we believe in Allah and the Messenger. وَأَطَعْنَا. And we also obey. Meaning they say, they talk a lot. ثُمَّ يَتَوَلَّى فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. Then a group of them turns away after that. Meaning after making that claim that we believe, we obey, what happens to them? They turn away. They don't actually obey. They don't actually follow the commands, the rules. Allah says concerning them, وَمَا أُولَٰئِكَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. These people, they're not at all believers. You can say whatever, but if your actions don't conform, then your words are not accepted. وَإِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ إِذَا فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. And when they are called to the words of Allah and His Messenger to judge between them, at once a party of them turns aside in refusal. So what does this ayah show to us? Whose attitude is this to disregard the commands of the Prophet ﷺ? Do not obey him. Who does that? The hypocrites. Believers follow and obey. And the hypocrites just say and they do nothing. They say, but they don't obey. So it does not befit a believer that he would disregard the command of the Prophet ﷺ. I told you the story of Abdullah ibn Umar, that how he followed the Prophet ﷺ in every little way that he knew, that he could. Even if it came to wearing the same sandals that he wore. Similar, right? Why? Because the greater the iman, the greater the love. And the greater the love, the more the obedience. Then we learn in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 61, that وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ وَإِلَى الرَّسُولِ رَأَيْتَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يَصُدُّونَ عَنْكَ صُدُودًا. And when it is said to them, come to what Allah has revealed and to the Messenger, you see the hypocrites turning away from you in aversion. The believer does not turn away, the hypocrite turns away. In Surah Ali Imran, ayah 32, قُلْ أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولُ فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ. Say, obey Allah and the Messenger. But if they turn away, then indeed Allah does not like the disbelievers. Two types of people are mentioned over here. Who? Those who are to obey Allah and the Messenger. And secondly, those who turn away. So those who obey Allah and the Messenger, who are they? The believers. And those who turn away, then their iman is not accepted. Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ. Such people are described as kafirin, disbelievers. Because true iman includes the statements as well as the actions. And if a person just says, I'm a believer, but he doesn't do anything, then that's not acceptable. Then we learn that the results of not obeying Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, are confusion, disagreement, and enmity. When people are distant from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then what is amongst them, what is between them? Confusion, they're lost, they don't know what they're doing, disagreement, and enmity. They're fighting with one another, there's discord. Shaitan is very active amongst those people, in other words. When people follow the sunnah, then they're rightly guided. Then Allah's help is with them. They are being led on the way to success. And when people are away from the sunnah, then who is very active? Shaitan. Then he's leading them. This is why there will be confusion, there will be disagreement, and there will be enmity. In Surah Al-Anfal, ayah 46, Allah says, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ وَاصْبِرُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. That obey Allah and His Messenger, and do not dispute, and thus lose courage. Because if you obey Allah and His Messenger, then that will lead to unity. And if you disobey, that will lead to what? What will that lead to? Disputes. And if you dispute, then what will happen? You will lose courage, and then your strength would depart. Allah says, be patient. Indeed, Allah is with the patient. Because sometimes you really have to do sabr to follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Isn't it? You're drinking the water, and you could just drink all of it in one gulp. But you're like, no, it's sunnah to drink in three. So what do? You have to do sabr, you have to control yourself, right? No, stop. Okay, take another sip. Now stop, and now take another sip. So sabr is required to follow the way of the Prophet ﷺ. Then when Allah and His Messenger have decided a matter, the believers have no other choice but to obey. When Allah and His Messenger have given an instruction, then believers don't have a choice anymore. They have to obey. And disobedience of Allah and His Messenger means going astray. First of all, believers don't have a choice. If they disobey Allah and His Messenger anyway, then what is their end result? Going astray, misguidance, lost. In Surah Al-Ahzab, ayah 36, we learn, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ. It is not befitting, it is not allowed for a believing man or a believing woman. Regardless of gender, it does not befit a believer that إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. That when Allah and His Messenger have decided a matter, that they should thereafter have any choice about their affair. When Allah and His Messenger have decided something, then the believers don't have a choice. What is expected of them? Just obedience. And whoever does not, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. Whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, then in fact he has strayed into clear error, meaning he is misguided, and there's no doubt about his misguidance. He is clearly in error. So anyone who is away from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, does not obey his ways, then he is misguided. He is misguided. So if ever you are shown the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and contrast to that is some other person's way, or some other suggested way, then what is better? What is always better? The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. But what about the other thing that people are suggesting? okay, that people are practicing, it is backed up by some scientific evidence or some research, then what? Still, what is better? The sunnah will always be better. Because when it comes to the scientific evidences, then do they change over time? Yes. Do they get revised? Yes, they do. So for us, the sunnah is the standard. Even if apparently modern science or whatever, it contradicts it, then still we will follow the way of the Prophet ﷺ. Because that is guidance. And what is other than that is what? Misguidance. Then the messenger's duty was only to convey the message clearly and openly. He conveyed clearly and openly. And what's our duty? To obey. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, Ayah 92, Allah says, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَاحْذَرُوا فَإِنْ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ فَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا عَلَىٰ رَسُولِنَا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. That obey Allah and obey the messenger and beware. And if you turn away, then know that upon our messenger is only the responsibility for clear notification. This is basically a threat. You follow, you're guided, you're successful. And if you don't follow, then the messenger is not responsible. Then you will be questioned by Allah. In Surah At-Taghabun, Ayah 12, Allah says, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ فَإِنَّمَا عَلَى رَسُولِنَا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. That obey Allah and obey the messenger, but if you turn away, then upon our messenger is only the duty of clear notification. In Surah An-Nur, Ayah 54, قُلْ أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْهِ مَا حُمِّلَ وَعَلَيْكُمْ مَا حُمِّلْتُمْ وَإِنْ تُطِيعُوهُ تَهْتَدُوا. Highlight this part. وَمَا عَلَى الرَّسُولِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. Say, obey Allah and obey the messenger, but if you turn away, then upon him is only that duty with which he has been charged. And what was that duty? To convey. And upon you is that which you have been charged. And what is that? To obey. The messenger was to convey, and you have to obey. He conveyed, now you have to do your part. And if you obey him, then tahtadu, you will be rightly guided. Then you will be successful. And there is not upon the messenger except the responsibility for clear notification. So this ayah clearly tells us that if we obey the messenger, then we are rightly guided. And if we don't, then we are misguided. Then disobedience of Allah and his messenger will lead to a disgraceful punishment, whereas obeying them leads to Jannah. In Surah Al-Fath, Ayah 17, Allah says, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ جَنَّاتٍ. Whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, Allah will admit him into paradise. تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِيَ الْأَنْهَارِ, underneath which rivers flow. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّ يُعَذِّبْهُ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. And whoever turns away, Allah will give him what kind of punishment? A painful punishment. Then we also learn that avoidance of the commands of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, under some false pretext, is liable to grievous penalty. Meaning if a person, you know, he comes up with his own opinion and his own imagination and his own theories or whatever, and as a result of that, he disobeys the messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, based on logic or whatever, then this is a serious matter. Allah warns us in Surah An-Nur, Ayah 63, that لَا تَجْعَلُوا دُعَاءَ الرَّسُولِ بَيْنَكُمْ كَدُعَاءِ بَعْضِكُمْ بَعْضًا. That do not make your calling of the messenger among yourselves as the call for one of you to another. That don't treat the call, the command of the messenger, like the command, like the call of any other person. No, it's not the same. If somebody else calls you, you can disobey them. But if the messenger calls you, you cannot disobey him. قَدْ يَعْلَمُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ يَتَسَلَّلُونَ مِنْكُمْ لِوَاذًا. Allah knows those of you who slip away concealed by others. فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. This is the main part. So let those beware who dissent from his order, lest a fitna strikes them or a painful punishment. Those people who disobey him, then they should be warned that a fitna might come upon you or some painful punishment might afflict you. Meaning the consequences of disobeying the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person can suffer in this world even. Not just in the hereafter, even in this world. Once there was a man, he was eating with his left hand. And the Prophet ﷺ told him to eat with his right hand. And he said, I can't. His arrogance prevented him from listening to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, no, I can't, I'm not going to. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, may you never be able to eat with the right hand. And his hand was paralyzed. Right hand was paralyzed. He could never ever lift up his right hand to his mouth ever again after that day. This is a serious matter. So we see in all of these verses that obeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is something that's very important. Allah has clearly mentioned it in the Quran. In some places there is a direct command that has been given. In other places, the obedience to the messenger is paired with obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other places we see that obeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is actually a sign of iman. There is reward for those who follow, and there is punishment for those who do not follow. Those who follow are guided. Those who don't follow are misguided. So this is a serious matter. So in summary, the Quran, what does that teach us? That following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his ways, his practices, is an obligation upon us. And turning away is a very serious matter. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.